Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Do you ever have a dream at night and then wonder, what was that about? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn. Today is September 18th, 2013. We're on day three of Newsworthy Clips, which are located on pages 26 through 29 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. I've got Josh Mooney and Joanna Wirtz back in the studio for day three. Hi, panelists.
Hello,
Bill.
Great to have you back. So before we move into today's news clip, let me get a thought from each one of you on something that might be relevant for our listeners from yesterday, our news clip about Margaret Thatcher's legacy.
Well, let's talk about legacy for one. Legacy is an important word. It refers to something we leave behind, a reputation, changes we made, just the way we impacted the world around us. And those changes and those that legacy doesn't go away when we die. And we were talking about Margaret Thatcher's legacy and how some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it is very controversial, and some of it maybe we won't learn the full impact for another few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like the word legacy, and it's not just reserved for famous people, celebrities, politicians, athletes, things like that. We all have our own legacy, and we need to think about what our legacy will be. Actually, if we do have that in mind, it will give purpose, structure to our activities and decisions and actually guide us, even on a daily basis, give meaning to life. So consider what your legacy is. How do you want to be remembered?
What will the Bill Quinn legacy be?
Well, there could be volumes written on that. So it's the story is not finished, Josh. Thank you for asking.
Well, I like the word eulogy that we used yesterday. And a eulogy is a speech that you deliver at someone's funeral. And I have had that privilege of delivering a eulogy, sharing nice thoughts and memories mm-hmm. about my grandfather. And it was a fun thing to write and to think about his impact on my life and then to share that with a few hundred people at his service.
How old were you when you did that?
It was about 10 years ago, so in my late 20s.
Okay, yeah. Because the reason I asked that is sometimes there's a certain period that you were ready for it or not. And that makes sense that you were able to do it. And it's also a step forward for you, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, it's very sad that he passed, but also at the same time, it is something that's really a move forward as for the person giving it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It definitely had an impact on my life.
Mm. I actually went to a funeral about 4 or 5 months ago, and the father of a couple of young ladies passed away. They were teenagers. They're 14 and 15 years old, and they actually gave incredible eulogy at this funeral. The sisters did it, and they did it in Mandarin and English because they have great English, and they alternated. And they also had like a slideshow. They had pictures of their father, and it was quite moving. And what was amazing to me was this was a very sad time because the father passed away at a young age and left these two girls. It's phenomenal, and it helped in their maturation process, too, that they were able to handle something like this in such a very difficult time. So, Okay, today we are talking about dreams. So let's move forward into this news clip today. It is on page 29 in your Advanced magazine. And what is the title of today's news clip, Joe?
Can computers decode dreams? Researchers take a first step.
Okay. Now, what do we mean decode?
Decode means to solve. Imagine your dreams being in code. You can't immediately understand what they are. Mm-hmm. To decode means to solve all those problems and make it something that we can understand.
Okay. I can understand dreams needing to be decoded because I have the craziest dreams. I don't know what it is, but I wake up I only remember them for a very short time right when I wake up, but they are always so strange, just a mishmash of people and weird events.
Mm.
And I don't worry about them. I don't think they have much meaning to me, but they're always very bizarre.
What about you, Joanna?
I do have weird dreams.
Yeah?
Just weird, weird dreams that make no sense at all. Or dreams that are completely normal, except something completely unrealistic. Just one thing is in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
Okay. All right. Well, it is something. Yeah, you have dreams, but it's very difficult to remember them. You know, a lot of times you might wake up, or maybe you remember for a very short period of time. But I also, I will have dreams, but then I'm like, what was that about? Or then I can't remember it or something.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
I know people that write them down. Mm-hmm. Do you think, is there any benefit to that? I don't know why they do that, but.
If you write it down right after you wake up, then I imagine you can look at it later and you can figure out, like psychologists will say, that there are certain aspects that you'll see in your dream that actually mean something from how your brain is working.
Yes.
So, like, for instance, I've heard that when you're naked in a dream, it means you're dealing with some sort of insecurity.
Well,
makes sense.
Well, yeah, this has actually become very popular now, trying to analyze dreams. What does this mean? What's going on with me? And people are trying to take this and figure out, well, is there some prediction of the future? And whereas maybe it's just more so about our past and how we process things in our brain. So that's what this is all about. That's why there is so much interest in trying to understand dreams. What does it mean and how does it, you know, affect our behavior and thinking? So we will split our reading up into three sections. Today, our first reading will be the first two paragraphs down to line 19. Can computers decode dreams? Researchers take a first step. Dreams defy even the dreamer, slipping away as stealthily as they arrive in a mind made credulous by sleep. But what if scientists could read our dreams by using the most advanced medical imaging machines and employing sophisticated algorithms? Researchers in Japan have taken an early step toward this chimerical goal by training computers to recognize the images flitting through the minds of sleepers in the earliest stages of dreaming. Their results, published by the journal Science, suggest that machines may be able to read our minds. Dreams defy even the dreamer. What does that mean, defy even the dreamer?
Means the dreamer can't really control the dreams. Mm-hmm. Defy means to sort of rebel or go against.
Yeah. And we see there, or actually we talked about how it's very difficult to remember dreams after we wake up, right, Josh?
That's right. It slips away as stealthily as it arrives. There's just something about a dream that even if you say, oh, I'd really love to think about this later, you forget it so fast. It's just this flit that comes into your mind and then goes away. And it says it's made credulous by sleep, meaning that you're too willing to believe what you're told.
Now, you had said about some people write dreams down.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do that?
No, I haven't.
No?
The only dream I can always remember having is my recurring nightmare. And something's recurring, it means I have it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say super often, but it's definitely the dream I remember the most.
Okay.
And it's been going on for years. And it's a dream I have about remembering at the end of a school semester that I have forgotten to attend the class all semester long. And then I have to go take the final.
I have the same dream.
You do?
I have the same dream. I've got to go take a test I never studied for, and I skipped class.
I've heard it being very common.
I have the exact same dream. Yeah.
What does that say about us, Bill?
Or I've got, like, a sales meeting to go to, and I haven't, like, even made sales calls in months. And my boss is wondering why I haven't sold anything. But I've got this test thing that I've skipped class.
Yes.
I haven't studied. And to graduate, this is the last class before I graduate, and I have to take a test, and I'm like, I haven't even been there.
I know other people that have the same recurring dream. That is crazy.
Wow. There are – do you have recurring dreams? Do you have the same pattern?
Sometimes. Not that particular one, but I've had recurring dreams about me maybe showing up somewhere on a trip and completely having forgotten my suitcase and everything.
Wow.
I've had dreams. I have a phobia of falling, the sensation that you get in your stomach of falling very quickly. I have a phobia of it.
Right.
So I often have nightmares of me falling off of things.
Right. I've had the suitcase dream. It wasn't that I got to a city, but it's that I leave a city and forget to check out of the hotel and that I've left all my stuff.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
Okay. All right. Well, there are some common themes in dreams, the falling one, the flying one, the being chased and not being able to run fast.
Oh, I hate dream. That one. Oh, that's the worst.
Yeah.
I've never had that one.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'm being chased by a bear or something and I can't even – my feet are like in cement. I can't move. But there's reasons why, for instance, this dream Josh and I are having about this test that we have to take, we haven't studied for and we skipped class. Scientists, psychologists would want to look at this and try and understand what's going on. Why do these guys keep having this dream? Does it indicate some area in their life that they're not sure about and maybe something that could be addressed in a conscious state? Maybe there's some aspect of life that's being overlooked. That's what this is all about. And that's what this next sentence then leads into. But what if scientists could read our dreams? Not through personal interviews with the people, but by using the most advanced medical imaging machines and employing sophisticated algorithms.
Yes, algorithms are when computers run sophisticated mathematical programs to determine how to make sense of large amounts of data.
Okay, where do we start out here, Joanna?
Well, researchers in Japan have taken an early step toward this chimerical goal by training computers to recognize these images that, you know, you pop up in the dreams.
All right. So they've taken an early step there in Japan. Joanna said chimerical. I said chimerical during the reading. Guess what? Both pronunciations are okay. This is kind of a rare word, isn't it, Joanna?
Yes. It makes me – I think it comes from – Chimera or something? That's a thing too, but it means not realistic or not likely to happen.
Okay. All right. So if we're working on something we really doubt that it's ever going to come about. And so that's what that word is used to describe because the reason why for centuries, skeptics have said you're never going to figure out dreams. That's why they use that word. Right?
You think of many Bible characters who were given insight by God to propel their story by reading dreams. Yeah. Leaders of countries, we've all wanted to know, what does that dream mean? And in this case, they're training computers to help in that process by sifting through the images of sleepers and making sense of them.
All right, now we see the word flitting. And what does that mean, flitting, Josh?
Well, it just means coming in a rapid way, coming at, something small piece of information coming at you in a fast.
Right.
And then disappearing in a short time.
If you're, the images are flying by. I tell you what, very fascinating image of a dream that I thought was captured very well last year was in the movie Lincoln by Steven Spielberg. It starts out with Abraham Lincoln having a dream. And I thought, that's actually a very interesting portrayal of a dream. If you've not seen it, if you watch the movie Lincoln, right in the beginning, he's having a dream. And it's very similar to what we might experience in that it's confusing. It's not clear. You can see something, but it's like what is going on is like really not clear. That often happens in our dreams. Something's happening. We kind of know what's going on. But we can't take the action necessary, and it's not real clear to us as we were having the dream.
Well, it's also interesting. It talks about stages of dreaming, and I think we do go through that, right? Your stage of sleep, your sleep cycles, we say, can vary and determine how you dream. Mm-hmm. Are you in a very deep sleep, or did you just fall asleep? And you have different types of dreams depending on what sleep state.
I can always tell when I'm dozing off because my thoughts, I'm quite a thinker. I don't fall right asleep. I think for quite a while before I fall asleep every night. And I can always tell that it's coming because even though I'm still conscious, my thoughts start getting weird and dumb and not making any sense at all. I'll start having weird conversations in my head and I'll think, I'm going to fall asleep now. It's coming.
Yeah, you're almost like in a semi-conscious state at that time. But then you can have some type of dreams there, like what Josh was talking about, at different stages throughout there. Now, we see here this last sentence about the researchers in Japan. Their results that were published in the journal Science suggested what?
Well, that machines, in this case computers, may be able to read our minds.
Okay, let's learn more about it in our next reading. The researchers put three volunteers into a magnetic resonance imaging machine capable of tracking blood flow in the brain, a sign of neurons at work. They also hooked up the volunteers to electroencephalograph machines, which record the electrical activity of those neurons. Then the scientists waited for the subjects to fall asleep. The researchers woke the subjects roughly 200 times, about every 6 minutes, to get verbal reports of what they saw before the images faded from memory. The researchers focused on the nouns in these descriptions and combined them into generic categories, which were represented by images, a human face, a key, furniture, and presented to the subjects while awake. Okay, the researchers in Japan put three volunteers into what, Joanna?
A magnetic resonance imaging machine, or an MRI machine.
Okay, all right. And MRI, you know, we talked in day one about radiation from a CAT scan, CT scan. That's one imaging piece of equipment. MRI, magnetic resonance imaging, is another imaging machine that is used in hospitals. And it can look inside of you. There's actually a specific reason MRIs are used. They can capture things that X-rays can't. So that's
what's the difference between an MRI and a CT scan?
Oh, well, an MRI actually uses, like, there's some sound waves that are involved in there to create the images. And the MRI machine is actually, it's a big round, like, tunnel that you are slid into. If you ever see that, people, you're strapped down onto, like, a table, and then you're slid into a hole, all right? And your whole body is in there, and then it's like, it takes about 45 minutes to get an MRI image. CAT scan is more like a big donut that you're not in, you're only covered, only a small part of you is covered, and it takes 5 minutes. That's the difference there with it. So,
good to know.
Now, the MRI then can is able to track different things, also is capable of tracking blood flow in the brain. And so that's, for instance, that is what X-rays can't do. So it can capture certain things. The MRI captures this blood flow, and it's also shows neurons at work.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Want to see how your brain is firing, what sorts of triggers in your brain, whether it's images or things that you're remembering throughout your day, and what is that causing your brain to do during a dream?
That's why they use the MRI, because the MRI machine, because there's a lot of activity in your brain when you are sleeping, and so they are tracking this activity. They also hooked up the volunteers
to an electroencephalograph, which perhaps could be the longest word we've used on the advanced program.
That is one of my favorites here. That I'm glad we've got it in there, and it's a machine that records the electrical activity of the brain. So it took me a couple times to say that word.
It takes up nearly an entire sentence.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Entire space of a sentence on our Art Minor magazine.
What they can do is actually from this machine is actually then take a graph and show high levels of activity in your brain, neural activity, and low levels. And so that's what they're doing, recording the electrical activity. Obviously, when there are high levels, you are in a heavy state of dreaming. So then the scientists waited for the subjects to fall asleep. Now, it was sort of kind of strange what they did to these people, right, Joanna?
Well, they woke the subjects roughly 200 times over the space of the study, about every 6 minutes, to get verbal reports of what they saw. If someone woke me up every 6 minutes, I would have something to say, but it would not be a report of my dream.
So it didn't happen at one time, because waking someone up every 6 minutes over 200 times would mean they were asleep for 20-something hours. So this would be they had several different studies.
Maybe they needed 20 hours of sleep if they're being woken up every 6 minutes.
It sounds miserable to me. I don't like being woken up once during the course of a night's sleep, but now to be woken up every 6 minutes and then have to give verbal reports of what you saw.
Maybe this is something that took place maybe over the course of a week. They had these people in there. And, well, it's fortunately, these people knew what they were doing, so when they were woken up, they didn't respond violently. but it's interesting that they would give them words right when they woke up. And that's really about the best we can do because I forget my dreams. Do you forget your dreams?
I think we all do. And that's what it's saying here too is that they had to get them recorded before they faded from memory. And it is interesting. I mean, we remember things so well as humans, you know, phone numbers and faces and dates. But our dreams, they just slip out so quickly. Is it because we just don't find them that important or it's because they don't really make a lot of sense?
Maybe it's because they're occurring in a different part of our brain than the stuff we see and hear and, like, think of when we're awake.
Okay. Now, the researchers focused on something in particular, right, Joanna?
Yes. They focused on the nouns in these descriptions and combined them into generic categories. So the person wakes up, they say some words, and the scientist writes down just not their whole sentences, I suppose, but just key nouns, like right. I saw a house, I saw a baby, that kind of thing.
Okay. So generic being just general categories as far as food, cars, people, things like that, general categories. And so then they wrote this stuff down, and it helped them identify patterns in the dreams. Let's have our final reading for today. The rest was a giant math problem. The scientists wrote a computer program to sort through the patterns of brain activity captured by the MRI in both waking and sleeping states. Then the program looked for links between those brain activity patterns and specific images. The computers learned to decode dream imagery with an average accuracy of 60%, according to the study. In some cases, the accuracy was significantly higher. Some of the errors in their computerized guesses could represent images lost even to the dreamer. If so, that would mean the machine was able to understand the volunteer's mind better than the volunteer could. Okay, there were a couple of steps in this research that the scientists were doing on dreams, and first was getting the verbal feedback from the subjects immediately after they woke up to try and understand what they were dreaming about. And then next we see the rest was what?
Well, they wrote a computer program, so they had the computer do a giant math problem to sort through the patterns of brain activity and then find links between that and what the subjects told them they saw in their dreams.
Okay, and that's what we talked about earlier, algorithm. This is the algorithm that they created, this mathematical model to plug in their data. And then the program looked for what, Joanna?
Well, the program looked for links between those brain activity patterns and specific images.
Okay. So they were looking at, first off, they were tracking, if you go back to our reading, our second reading, they were using an electroencephalograph to track brain activity. And so then they were trying to match up the words with the specific brain activity to see if there was any pattern and match it up with those images. What did the computers learn, Joe?
Well, the computers learned to decode dream imagery with an average accuracy of about 60%. So good, not great, but good, worth studying more.
Okay. And there were some times where the accuracy was even higher, but for the most part, it was 60%. Now, what about some of the errors?
Well, it says that, and they even put them in quotes, maybe these aren't errors necessarily, but they weren't able specifically to correctly say, well, you said you saw a monster, but we didn't see a pattern of, you know, stress or something in your brain activity around monsters. But maybe that's not necessarily the case, because it says those errors could represent images lost even to the dreamer.
Right. If you try to remember your dreams right when you wake up, you're not going to remember everything, right?
That's right. Maybe only a couple of key things that'll stand out. Maybe even only the dreams that were the last part of your sleep cycle. I think that's probably where some of the dreams are the most vivid.
Yeah, I understand. We can have several dreams as we're sleeping, but we're only going to remember, even if we do remember, just one. Do you ever write that stuff down?
I don't. I've never tried it.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not really all together when I wake up. I'm not. I wake up and I'm like, oh, I'm awake now.
What about you?
I have not. No. I think if I can talk about them with someone, I'll probably start to piece it together. But yeah, the only one I really remember is that darn test preparation.
Okay. All right. Well, I think as far as writing it, that we would have to make a conscious decision to do that before we went to sleep at night. We would have to set a piece of paper and a pen next to us. And even if we did that, I'm not even sure we would even remember to do that. Probably half the time we'd forget to do it when we woke up. Yeah. Now, they're trying to use a machine here, and we're talking about some of the images. Some of it might be just lost information. And then if so, we finish up, that would mean that the machine was able to understand the volunteer's mind better than the volunteer could. What do you think about that?
Sounds cool. It sounds like there's a lot more to be studied in this area. And if they're making a machine that can tell us what we dreamed, I mean, we forget our dreams all the time. So that would be cool.
Do you want to know what your dreams mean?
I don't think I do. I think it's I've known myself long enough. My dreams are mostly nonsensical mishmashes of conversations I had during the day. I think the only thing I take away from them is every once in a while, a really old friend that I've been out of touch with will just show up in my dream. And if I remember that, I do take that as some sort of, you know, cosmic signal to reach out to that person. But that's the only thing I kind of hold on to from my dreams.
I've had dreams before that were, I wouldn't say premonitions, but maybe more insightful than I ever in my conscious mind believed they would be. And then maybe I learned something in real life that told me, oh, you know, I dreamed that. I didn't even know that was going on, but I dreamed that. How weird. So I don't know.
Okay, fascinating subject. And it's one that has perplexed men and women for thousands of years, dreams. I'd be curious to hear from you listeners about maybe one of your most interesting dreams. Write us a note at letters@studioclassroom.com or just drop us a line there on Facebook at our webpage. Be very interesting.
Yes, it would.
Thanks for joining us today and the last couple of days for Newsworthy Clips. Till next time, this is Bill.
Joanna.
And Josh.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye.